you're ready, hello?
We're good.
Get on recording.
We're gonna call the meeting to order. Our first item of business is public comment. I see one gentleman in the room. Did you want to make a public comment, sir? No? Okay. Alexis, I understand for your email that this is your last day with us?
It is.
Yeah.
Yes.
Moving on to bigger and better things.
Moving on to different things. Yeah, doing similar work. I'll be working for another engineering firm. Friday will be my last day, so this will be my last day here physically with this group.
And
Longest one in the room.
Yeah. Yeah. we just don't have that option. It's retirement or nothing, you know. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, hopefully, I guess, John, you'll be carrying the ball from here on in. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great. I guess we can just go directly into our first item of business, which is intergovernmental coordination update.
Sure. So I sent out the revised draft at the last workshop last week. There were some edits suggested by this group, so I've incorporated all those edits. I hope you've had a chance to look at it. And if there's any other questions or comments, take those now.
You want to go through any, I mean, do we need to go through any of those changes, or are they so minor that I didn't notice any when I read
minor.
It?
They're pretty minor. I can go through them, but they are pretty minor.
Did anyone have any?
I thought it was great, except for on page 9, I thought we had decided to get rid of one of the strategies, but
which one?
It was 8.1.44.
Okay. I remember this conversation, but I guess I didn't remember where we left off with it. So you wanted to get rid of this one?
We're getting rid of that. I thought we were getting rid of that one just because we weren't sure what they were.
Well, I think you talked about how it's in the economic development chapter.
Yeah.
But I can take it out if the group wants this one removed.
I think we can remove it just for the sake of brevity. And
okay.
That was it. That's all.
Okay.
It doesn't keep us from doing that.
I appreciate all your work on this.
Mr. Wheatley, did you have any suggestions?
No, I had some vague recollection that
talked about that.
Something out too, so it's good.
Mr. Hudson?
I'm good.
Mr. Hopkins?
Nothing.
Okay, hearing no additional comments, I guess it would be good to have a motion to post the intergovernmental coordination update as a draft.
So moved.
Second.
We have a motion and a second to post the intergovernmental coordination element as a draft. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. The future land use update is next.
Sure. So once again, this was discussed at the last workshop, and I went through and made all the edits we talked about. We spent a lot of time at the last workshop talking about the different categories, the growth area categories, and the densities and the uses of those. So I went through and, you know, we talked about adding about mixed use development. We talked about adding master planning. So that's all in here now. So mixed use development, master planning. There were some other changes across the board. So were there any other comments from this group in reading through the revised version? Oh, and I did want to point out one thing. In the last version you got, there was the map of the ag business areas, and this is the revised map. This is the correct map.
Do we need to review that in more detail, Janelle? Do you think, for the sake of the other commissioners, this is basically, I think, except for your and my work, maybe the first detailed view of this map?
Right.
This would be a good time to go through it, and you might also want, we just had a couple people, members of the public show up. So
if they want
to
speak.
Because we moved quite through back to through
yeah,
public
we did,
comment.
Yeah.
So
yeah. Let's just, sir, did you want to speak regarding, did you want to have any comments? Please come up. We kind of went through that real quick early.
Okay.
So we're going to be flexible.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
There was light traffic this morning, so this is a bonus. My name's Chuck Schonder. I'm with the.
The record showed that there was light traffic.
Took the words right out of my mouth.
I didn't realize what I was saying.
I take it you were coming from east to west, and they were still light traffic.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Anyway, I'm here to represent the AARP chapter in Ocean View. We happen to be one of the largest on the East Coast. 2 weeks ago, our membership was 516 members. And what I wanted to mention to you today was that one of the very top priorities that we hear from our members who are age 50 and above, that's the beginning for that group, is that they wish to age gracefully, that's the term they like to use, age gracefully in their homes rather than in an institution. And that's a win-win for both sides, because you may know that for those that have to go to an institution, that eventually with the cost of institutions, they may have the money up front, you know, for a while, but after a while, they become Medicaid supported in these institutions, and that's pretty good nut for the taxpayers. When that's one of the biggest problems we have in Dover right now with the state budget, is that very issue. That's the driver. So anyway, I was here a couple weeks ago and mentioned to you that one of the biggest problems with our members aging gracefully at home is that they need to get places, like doctor's appointments and going to the grocery store and so forth. We are in the midst, I'm sure you know this, but we see it every month when we have our meetings. We are in the midst of what I call a silver tsunami from Georgetown East in Sussex County. I don't know the exact number, but I know that up there in one of your finance offices, the lady that handles the senior tax credit for school property tax credit, has a basket that looks like that with the applications. And most of those, well, a good number, good proportion of those folks are people that are coming in here for different reasons, you know what they are. A couple weeks ago I was here and I asked if there's a possibility that some sort of committee might be formed to look into putting together some kind of overall attack on being able to satisfy these folks who are coming here and aging out here in the way of being able to get them to doctor's appointments, dentist appointments, and so forth. And it's a net huge savings, as I pointed out a minute ago, if they age in their homes rather than going to the institutions, which any of them that have any modest sort of savings will run out quickly at the cost, monthly cost of these institutions. So that's what I'd like to work with you on, if that's possible. And I brought some cards with me, and I'll pass those out.
Or if you give them to Ms. Cornwell, and if I heard you right, you're looking for an overall approach to just senior issues.
Yeah, well, transportation.
Specifically transportation.
Yes, it's them getting from their homes to these critical appointments that is usually one of the main deciding factors on them going into an institution. Mm-hmm. So that's the issue.
Now, are you doing any participation with ITN, the network for trans? They swap ridership for rides.
One of the members on my committee was vice president of that group, so he's pretty well informed.
Okay, great.
But I think there are some other things going on, but I think we need to look at it. I have access to DC. and, you know, all the information that AARP has. And I know that's that may be one of our issues that we take on and through the state chapter. We have a direct connection, and we're, you know, because of our size, they listen to us.
Sure.
So, okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Give your cards to Ms. Cornwell. Thank you very much. Mr. Hughes, did you want to speak?
Yes, if I could.
Was it a morning or what? I mean, your shirt tails out. I mean, you're just not usual. Your usual dressed up self.
No, well, I had a printing issue actually, and I've lost a little weight, so I guess that's a good thing. But anyway, my name is DJ Hughes, as I think most of you know. 16566 Sweetwater Drive. I have a few things to pass out if I could this morning.
Yes, absolutely. Give them to Ms. Cornwell if you don't mind, and let her distribute.
I think there's enough. And what this is I attended the CTP last week for Delta, and I know you're going to be talking an update about the mobility element today, so this is where it kind of ties in, or does tie in. And I think what a lot of us have thought and maybe kind of wondered about over the years is, you know, where is all the funding gone and the proportions and that sort of thing. So what this does is goes back 4 years to the last three approved years. Currently we're in fiscal year 18 and the future proposed years, fiscal year 19. They run July 1 to June 30th. So right now we're in FY18, and it shows the total funding for each county and then for the entire state. And I focused on capacity and safety improvements. And the reason I did that was basically the state does have a lot of other expenses that aren't broken down by county. And as a member of the public, you don't have the ability to see. They have a statewide line item, and then they have the nails to separate their bridges out and different things like that. So it's kind of tough to see pave and rehab, you know, what each county gets there. But to me, those are basic functions DelDOT has to do. That's the bare minimum. They have to make sure we don't fall into, you know, the bridge doesn't fall down when we drive over it. They got to make sure you got potholes that are fixed and that sort of thing. So this is all about the capacity improvements or turn lanes, their additional through lanes if you need them, those sort of things. And safety improvements, they have triggers once you get a certain number of crashes, and based on the volume of traffic, they have a crash rate, and then it goes into a safety program. So those are the improvements I focused on, and you can see each year back, if you go back to FY2016, the total funding was $282 million across the three counties for capacity and safety. And of that, Sussex got $43 million, Kent got $41 million, Newcastle got $197 million. So that was about a 15% Sussex, 15% Kent, and 70% Newcastle. When you go to the next year, the state got an increase of about $160 million in the funding they use for those type of improvements. Of that, Sussex got about $9 million, Kent got about $12 million, and then the rest went to Newcastle. So the breakdown that year ended up with Sussex with $53 million, Kent with $53 million, and Newcastle again with $336 million. So that was a 76% portion up to Newcastle, where Sussex only got $12 million. FY18, the current year, there was basically a $28 million increase, 28.5 that the state used to fund capacity and safety, yet the Sussex improvements decreased by $15.5 million. So, and our percentage went down to 7.89%. Kent actually got 9.52%, and then Newcastle got 82.59%. So when you look at that, that way, that's, to me, that's got a very disproportionate amount of funding, especially when you see funding go up for the across the board of the state, but then go down significantly in Sussex, when I think, I don't know what the numbers are, you guys know better than I do, but I think it's like 2,500 building permits a year, and that's about 50% of the state. So I can't tell you what the equitable portion is, but when you look at the last 3 years of what was approved, doesn't seem Sussex is getting their fair share. When you look at the proposed upcoming year, there's basically $35 million, $36 million that's being spent across the three counties. About 35 of that's going to Sussex, about 24 is going to Kent, and then about 276 million goes to Newcastle. So the Newcastle percentage works out to 82%, which is about 8 times the amount of funding that Sussex is proposed to get for those type of improvements. And then if you go across the 4-year average, again, it's 11% for Sussex, 10.69 for Kent, and 78.31 for Newcastle. So I don't know what the equitable portion should be, but it doesn't seem like they should be getting 7 times the amount of funding. Talked with the director of planning from DelDOT, and he didn't think that was the case initially. And then we met with his finance guy that was at the hearing, and basically these numbers are pulled right from their spreadsheet, so they are what they are. And you know, he said that they are doing some things with, I think they're counting seasonal population. They're just starting to do that now, so that should get us some more funding. But you know, we obviously need to have more funding than this when it comes to percentage wise, and we've got projects on the books that have been on the books for years that just aren't getting funding. And I told him I'm not worried about focusing on what's done is done, but we need to figure out a way to make things better so we can get our fair share. I think he said it was supposed to be like 60% based on population, 40% based on the road mileage. But if that's the case, I don't see how these numbers are working out to support that. And I asked questions about like the motor fuel tax and then the DMV fees. You know, is there anything we can find out how much of that revenue is coming from Sussex? Is it, are we really 7-8 times less revenue that we're generating for the state versus Newcastle? I mean, I don't know what those numbers are. They do have bigger projects like 301. He pointed out we have toll roads, but that's supposed to be a self-sufficient road. So he said we should take that off these numbers, but when you do, it's only $26 million. So it really doesn't change a whole lot when they're getting $275 million to begin with. And if you look at our numbers over the 4 years, $168.5 million, the lowest of any of those 4 years that Newcastle got was 197 or 198 million. So in 4 years, we're getting 30 million less than Newcastle's getting in the lowest year, the last four. Their highest year was 388 million. So, and you know, they do have projects like the 95 interchange up there by Cabela's and Christiana Mall. We've all seen that grow. And the director plan confirmed there's no developer funding in that project at all. So I know the one shopping center was denied down here, but they were being required to fund $8 million for, you know, that, and that wasn't even anywhere near the size of Christiana Mall. So, you know, it just seems like they're relying on developers a lot more in Sussex County to fund improvements and not focusing the state funding here. And whatever we have to do as a county to make sure that funding comes down here, you know, that's, I'd like to work with y'all or whoever just to figure out what that is. But I think there needs to be a will, whether it's, you know, our state legislators, you know, pressing for more funding or whatever it is. But we've seen the same thing in the CTP. I started at Delta. I worked there 4 years, and from 99 to 2003, Route 24 projects were in the CTP then, and they're still not done. Kings Highway is supposed to, per a legal agreement in 2009, supposed to have been nominated as dual lanes. It just got in the CTP now. Came in as number 5 in the entire state out of 103, but there's no construction funding in the next 6 years and no funding in the federally approved 4 years. So, you know, basically I was told, well, we can't pull from one project to give to this. Well, if 24 has been in the CTP for over a decade and it's a 6-year CTP, obviously funding's been pulled from that to go somewhere else. So it's not that it can't, it's just you might not want to make somebody else upset, but that's basically, somebody's probably getting upset every year because their project's not getting funded. But if we have a ranking system that says this project is 5 out of 103 in the state, but we're not funding it, then what's the point of the ranking system?
You mentioned population and road miles were significant in their assessment of projects. Recently, as you mentioned, we are counting now seasonal or part-time residential population, which increased our population by roughly 38%. And we're trying to work on what the Association of Realtors calls occasional occupancy. I call them weekenders,
right,
which is another pretty significant number. So hopefully we're working on a path to improve those population counts, which should help the county. The mileage thing, though, I'm a little confused. I mean, we have a lot of two-lane roads, which means we have a lot of shoulders, we have grass cutting and all that kind of thing, turn lanes. Are the shoulders counted proportionately, turn lanes, the drainage issues within the roads? How are they included as part of that weighted miles, the road miles?
That's a good question. I'm not sure the answer. I mean, I talked to Drew for about 2 hours, the director of planning, Drew Boyce, about 2 hours at the hearing, and I talked to him about 45 minutes on the phone the next day. And I want to continue discussions because I think there's a lot of complicated things that go into funding when there's federal dollars involved. I know one of the things we talked about was Route 24. When you read the 1970 comp plan, it's referred to as a minor arterial. And at some point, it was declassified, or I don't know if it's just a typo, but now it's a major collector. But the significance is that takes it off the national highway system and doesn't make it eligible for capacity improvements. So you can literally only do improvements on 24 if there's a safety project. The reason they got up to Warrington and Plantation is because they were tied it in with Route 1, which is on the safety project. So apparently to get dual lanes to Love Creek, that project would have to be extended to tie in Route 1, or 24 would have to be upgraded to a minor arterial. So I'm actually going to follow up with them and just see what the history of why that is and what can be done.
Well, in code, and it's a shame that Vince is not here this morning. He had a doctor's appointment, so he'll be here a little bit later. But there's no real reference in code, as I did a little research, and there's no definition for collector streets, local minor streets, or major arterial roadways. The Route 16, 24, 26, 54 are not major arterial roadways.
Right.
In the maps that we have in the mobility, some of those are identified as principal arterial and then minor arterial, but our code doesn't seem to match up to nomenclature, if you want to say. So I guess maybe that's something that we, as we move forward in implementation of our comp plan, we need to probably, Ms. Cornwell, look at the nomenclature of the state and the nomenclature that we have in our code to see if we can't.
We'll make sure they match.
Align.
Yeah, and the Delta classification maps, they do it, I don't know, every 5 to 10 years, and it's run through the FHWA, and it is approved by the feds. I think the last one they did was in 2016. If I'd realized the 24 classification issue, I would have brought it up, but I just noticed it when I was looking at some of the old comp plans.
And so considering that conversation, it would be in our best interest to probably not only look at the nomenclature, but try to get some of those roads that we really need improvements on reclassified so that we can qualify for more federal money.
Yeah, and Drew did mention there is something about having so many arterial roads in an area, but if you look on the Sussex classification map, there's not actually a lot of roads that Delta considers arterials. And 26 is minor arterial. Mm-hmm. 9, 13, 1, 113 are all principals. I think 4, maybe part of 404 too, but there's not a ton of arterials, so I don't think we would have a problem there getting 24 to an arterial. And if you read the ASHTO definition of an arterial, it fits it. So.
Mr. Hopkins, you had a question?
Yeah, so you I guess I would really like to be able to get my brain around the kind of the rolling priority formula, if you will. So you referenced a 60% was population, 40% road mileage. So it's, I guess at some point they say we have either, do they start with a percentage? Do they like formulate a percentage and then plug in some safety things, or do they start with dollars?
I don't think it can be an exact science because each project has different estimates and needs certain amount of funding each year. So it probably also depends on which projects they decide to fund in each county.
But that would be one of my questions is, do we start with a pool of money within the county, which is X, you know, I don't know what the numbers were, if it's $30 million in a given year. And then if they say, but we have, and it could be, maybe they say in Sussex, you know, we started at 30, but because of this, you know, bypass around Millsboro or whatever, we need to pull some from Newcastle and throw another 15 at it? Or do they say, no, we're going to cut other things in Sussex in order to do that? I guess what I'm saying is I understand it's not an exact science, but it would be nice just to see, just to understand the logic of a starting formula.
I agree.
For how we get to, how we get there.
Yeah, and I asked that.
For example, if one of the starting points is 40% road mileage, well, then it would be nice to see that breakdown.
Right.
Sussex County has this many miles, Kent, Newcastle, and it's these particular roads. You know, as you drill down, we say, okay, it's like something that you can reconcile, and you can say, okay, that makes sense. And the same with the population. And one of my questions I have on the population is, when are they just getting ready to include the seasonal numbers, or have they been doing it for 5 years?
It sounded like he was saying they were just starting to do it. And I mean, if you look at the numbers this year, it wouldn't seem that it's in there this year. But they also do have a moving target where they're trying to plan, and they've got budget projections, and they change monthly almost on, you know, here in these days. So until June 30th of every year, they really don't know what they're dealing with. And as we all know, well, actually it wasn't even June 30th this year, but there's a lot of things that goes on in those last hours, and really until that's, they don't know what this pool of money is. And then that's on the state level, and then they've got the federal level too. So, but I think that's why their prioritization is supposed to come in, and to me, that's what should be driving. Once they have that pool of money, where is it going? So when you see a project at number 5 out of 103, that's where I don't understand how, even though it just came in this year, but to have no funding in the first 4 years and none construction, and if you're a year 7 before you're even starting design, you're a good 8 to 10 years out at least before you're seeing a project being open. So, you know, that it, there's two things really. There's the pool of money they get, how they divide it up, and then where it goes.
Right, but then if you look out, you know, whatever it is, the sixth year, you know, a given year, and you know, there's a certain dollars that have been appropriated for, in our case, Sussex County, and then next year, you know, things can kind of change out there because of whatever. Is there some type of a reconciliation statement that's laid over top of that next year's report that says, you know, last year we projected $35 million for, you know, year 4 or 3 or 2 out, but now we've redone the numbers and we now it's going to be more or less, or there's going to be. Drew did say it was.
They try to look at a 4-year average to try to make sure that, you know, the funding is not out of whack one way or the other. And I mean, basically,
it's kind of like on a construction schedule. It's nice to be able to see it slipping before you get to the end of the time.
Yeah,
and both dollars and a schedule. In our case, I think we're probably talking both, but certainly right now we're looking at dollars. It's just always nice to know, why did we say last month it was going to cost this much to complete or to spend, and now we're saying it's going to cost this much, just so that there's not, and I'm just saying, just from a reconciling standpoint, we say, okay, yeah, that makes sense, that's right, we did make those changes in priorities or whatever.
Well, however we figure out what the fair share is, I mean, it would be nice to know out of, say, every 100 million, such, you know, 30 million's going here, 20's going here, 50's going here, whatever it is. I mean, but, you know, when you look at, you know, I don't know, 20, we haven't even gotten 20% in any of the last 4 years. So if we can get 20%, that's at least a start. Whatever that percentage is, it's more than what we're getting now. So
I think Mr. Wheatley had a question.
This is great discussion here. And the problem we've had historically is that this discussion takes place about once every 5 or 10 years. Okay. This to me seems like something that should be part of the work of the Transportation Advisory Committee, which I think is a great idea and I think should be incorporated into our plan in one way or another. Because this ongoing dialogue and this understanding, and I think this would help all of us, you know, to as you've pointed out, DJ, is to point out, is to understand how this you know, how this all is supposed to work, because all of us know that when it comes down to money, it's going to get sliced and diced and in all kinds of strange ways. You don't even know how much it's going to be until, you know, a certain point. But that notwithstanding, if we have regular contact, regular discussion, we can kind of have a scorecard, have a schedule, as you were saying, Keller, to be able to see where we are with different things. And if things aren't working out according to plan, we can at least know why and understand why and how that works. The distribution of funds across the state has been a concern for a long, long, long time. I don't think we've ever felt like we had a good vehicle for following up on that, but I think we have a shot here coming up. I mean, it can't be any worse than what we've been doing.
If there's a way to tie the mobility element into just, you know, even if it's just language, I mean, you know, or maps or whatever it is, I mean, the comp plan is scary to force.
We're going to talk about all that this afternoon, yeah. And we're going to have to be, you know, realistic about what we can really accomplish. But this is the kind of stuff I would envision that group getting into, because it's way more detailed than we're going to be able to deal with on a land use plan level. But certainly would be appropriate for an ongoing working group.
Agreed. Any assistance I can provide, you guys know where to find me.
Mr. Hudson, do you have any questions?
Just what you kind of confirmed my question about how accurate your numbers are here. Mm-hmm. And you're pretty sure of those, aren't you?
I can actually follow up and send Janelle the spreadsheets. They're called spend plans. They're
right off. You don't have to do that. I was just...
Right. Yeah, I'm confident in them. Yep.
Ms. Hovis-Davis, you have any questions?
No.
Okay, Mr. Hughes, thank you very much.
You're welcome. Thank you all for the opportunity.
I didn't see anyone else walk in, so I think we can continue our discussion about the future land use. I think, Alexis, since nobody's really seen this map before, other than this way, mm-hmm. maybe we only have like 10 AV overlays. Should we zoom in on each one, Janelle, you think, so that everybody can get a real close-up of what we're talking about?
Yeah, we can
about?
Do that. Not a problem.
Is that okay with the commission?
I just didn't get the website up.
Do you want to do it on the website, or should we just do it on this map?
It's up to you guys. You pick.
Do we want
it? Okay.
Did we get it to the... Megan?
It's probably still the old layer then.
Yeah, so then we'll just use this one.
We'll use this one. Do you want to just start at the top, Marty?
Wherever you want to start, right, Alexis, start it's fine. Fine with us.
Okay, so there's three here in the north.
So what we try to do is we try to select sites that have some of the criteria, either natural gas or major roadway or in an area that's already ag business and in a site that was in reasonable proximity to ag preservation districts as well, because one of the ideas is that if we had ag industry and could surround it by ag preservation district, you further insulate any residential conflict. And so there's both obviously Route 13 and the one on the left, if we start with Greenwood, there's natural gas available not too far away and also high-speed internet. And electricity unlimited utility. I don't believe, Janelle, correct me if I'm wrong, that there was an existing agribusiness in that particular AB zone without the...
I don't think in agribusiness, there is definitely, I think, in all of them, ag preservation lands, either in the tenure or in the permanent easement. So we did match that, and after we kind of drew the blobs, as it was suggested, we went back and looked and made sure we were avoiding, you know, major subdivisions, because clearly we don't want residential. And there might be a couple of residential in here, but we tried to address, make sure, because again, it's just it's a tent to be
an overlay,
just a generic area, you know. To provide some guidance as to where we wanted to focus. And again, these are up for change and suggestions.
Well, yeah, absolutely.
On the 36 one, that starts at Route 36 and goes over to 113, uh-huh. The one right in the middle. I don't remember how we came. Is it because the line cuts off like that? Is that where a property line is? Is that where a development is? I mean, I don't know why we don't just take it all the way down to 16.
It crosses a number of parcels, but I think there was probably a subdivision somewhere against that. So we wanted to avoid that.
Because, I mean, 16 is going to become another major
absolutely
feeder. If you've got it there, it can go to 113 either from the north or the south.
So. But there were some subdivisions up north of 36 that we wanted to stay kind of away from, and that's an area that's not highly developed. There are some minor subdivisions, of course, as there are all over the county. Also in proximity to Route 113, which we hope, and Route 16. So that was a nice site because it has access to both. And natural gas as well as high-speed internet and electricity.
But if you want, we can take a look, and if you want us to take it all the way down to 16, we can do that. I mean, again, we're just coming up with ideas.
And, you know, when we went through this, I can remember us having discussions about all of them, so I just don't remember any specifics.
These are fairly large
looking
areas.
When you look at it like that, it's pretty easy to just go, oh, let's just take it all the way.
Yeah, let's.
Yeah, can you go online?
No, I don't. It's Sussex Map something, and I can never remember.
www.sussexcounty.de.gov, I think.
Is it /
It's something with Sussex Maps.
Yeah, that might be it. It'll pop up.
It's not on the county's main website. It's a different. We're looking for our mapping site, and that is.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
You go to the online map, we might be able to get the naming under business. Online mapping. And if we just use the online mapping,
yeah, I think we can get close to that.
Yeah. Yep, that one. Yeah, because it's maps at something. And then we can just kind of zoom into the area.
It goes fast on you, doesn't it?
Yeah, so there's Route 16 above. And we're just, and there's 113 to the right there.
There's
36. So we're, if you can put the aerial, I think would help the best.
A little too far north for 16. 16's at the very bottom.
16's down
there.
This is 16th.
Yeah, there you go. Sorry about that, Doug. Thank you.
Oh, no worries.
Yeah.
Okay, here's 16.
Yeah. Can we move that up the other way?
Let me zoom out.
I think, wasn't it?
I like that view.
So you can see the rural character of the area, and that's what we were shooting for. There's plenty of ag land. There's ag land preservation. There are some minor subdivisions, but relatively few as compared to up against a municipality or major subdivisions.
But there's more as you go north, so that's why.
Yeah, that's why we went down. And in fact, the mixed residential use map is just above that.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, we expanded the mixed residential?
Yep.
And so we came on the other side to try to stay away from it.
Mm-hmm.
On the one on the right near Milton, that's north of Milton. There's we stayed north of the river there with our developing area of mixed residential use. This is south of the river, and there's quite a bit of ag land preservation. There happens to be a Chesapeake pressure reduction station and a major utility right there, substation. So it seems like an ideal place to locate, plus the proximity to Route 1. Did anybody want to zoom in on that? If not, we can move down, Alexis, too. The ones in the middle of the county, the one south of Georgetown is on a rail siding. And it's next to an ag preservation district that has not had the purchase of development rights sold yet, but it is still a district. And so because of the rail siding, you know, there's not that many rail sidings available, quite frankly, to access. So it kind of, you know, it's maybe not the most ideal location, but it is a couple large parcels put together there. And with the proper setbacks can be good. Across to the left in the middle of the county, there's a feed mill in Mopac, all the way next to Seaford,
Alexis, right there. Rail siding as well. It's maybe a mile from natural gas and a couple miles from electricity and high-speed internet. But because of the existing ag infrastructure and the rail siding, it seemed appropriate. If we move to the center north of Laurel, there's a Chesapeake Natural Gas is will have a line, it's all approved, running through that particular site along Route 9, cutting across to Seaford. And there's utility and high-speed internet, and it has access to Route 9, so you can get to 113. Moving down to the right, that is near Cross Keys. It's not that far from the route, what is that, 20, I think?
20 and 24.
Yeah, and it's N24, either one. Highly rural area, very few residential properties out there. The one below it is near Lowe's Crossroad. That is obviously on a minor arterial. There is not natural gas there, but it does have electric and high-speed internet. But because of its rural character and its proximity to the 24, it seemed appropriate.
Yeah, we're not going to get everything at every site.
No, no. You
know, so I mean, yeah, I mean, this is fine. I mean, it's a place to start. And by the way, I attended an economic development meeting last night that the presenter was actually a guy from Mississippi and confirmed basically everything we talked about in our plan. So it was really a very, very much affirming what we're talking about here. You got to get this, as many of the essentials. You have to work with what you have. And if we're going to have some of these sites where there's maybe only two out of five, but depending on which two it is, it's still worth doing.
Did anyone want to zoom in on any of those that we just kind of walked through? Okay, we can move down to Laurel. There's two sites, South Laurel. That site is adjacent to the current malt plant that's being built, and behind that, it's also a site with rail siding that's undeveloped, which makes it advantageous, and it's not obviously very far from natural gas, which runs down Route 13. And the one down there, Dalmar, is an existing feed mill and site there, also has rail siding. That's available, and it already has a pressure station there, natural gas as well. So it was just an expansion of an existing agricultural industrial use. Janelle, did you want to add any comments or thoughts?
No. Any questions or any concerns? I mean, we can expand, shrink,
yep,
we can add more.
Answer the question just so we understand how this would work later on. Once this is adopted and this becomes the overlay, I would be amazed if we hit every one of these right on, but I'm just thinking about the person who is immediately adjacent to it but not in it. Is there a way to get them in that if it became advantageous for us to do that?
I would think we could put like a note on the map saying, you know, these are, it's a draft of areas, and that we could adopt more specific upon the adoption of the ordinance. Well, so that gives us a little, because it is a map that will be in the comprehensive plan that will have the force of law, but I think if we put a note on the map and we can verify with Vince.
Yeah, I'll run some text for you guys.
We have the ability to, I mean, I know it's a process we want to avoid, but we do have the ability to change the map after the fact, right?
Yes.
Yeah, we can open up the
right,
plan.
Right, but I think if we leave the commission enough availability to go, you know, this is just, you know, conceptual, you know, it'll get further defined as an ordinance moves forward.
Yeah, okay.
That's the key. I think not only will the mats be further vetted through this current process, but without an ordinance, they really don't do anything.
Yeah.
So the ordinance is where, you know, the specifics of how the setbacks would be and what the setbacks mm-hmm. would, you know, how they would be designed, forested, or whatever. How significant to protect adjacent property owners.
And again, these could change based on public testimony.
Yep.
So
that's true. And the creation of the overlay will help us deal with the speed to market issue so that people can, if they're in one of these zones, they're good to go.
If the ordinance is designed that way, yes. Yeah,
that's why it's going to really depend on how the ordinance is written ultimately. Yeah.
So I'll work with Vince and Janelle on like a note, some text for a note, similar to what we have in the future land use map about the ESDA, you know, the low density areas underneath. We'll pen some text and put it as a note on the map. So that'll kind of cover the bases.
I think that'll
moving
work.
Forward. Okay.
Anything any else on the maps?
Any other questions on the
areas anybody has concerns about?
Pardon me?
Any other areas that we didn't touch that,
did you want
know,
to add areas?
And I know you wanted to maybe expand it down to 16 or?
I mean, just looking at it like that, I don't see why we would.
Okay.
Why we wouldn't expand it down to 16 or?
Yeah, why we would not.
Okay.
Yeah. I didn't see any major developments in there or unless there were some already
well,
on the books.
Well, I'm wondering if we, I'm trying to remember now why we did it that way.
Yeah.
Would it have had to do with the fact of trying to limit access to 16?
I don't know. I mean, you don't.
I'm okay with expanding it. I would rather go bigger than smaller.
Yeah, I would too. I was just thinking that actually that would give us better control over access to 16 rather than 500 houses going there.
Well, compared to residential development, and I know again we'll get into that discussion on this afternoon when we talk about mobility, is how what limited access really means as a practical matter on a two-lane road in Sussex County. Not sure we're going to be doing separated grades on 16, but as a generally, I would be in favor of making areas larger rather than smaller. We can, you know, and depending on public input, we can.
Let's take a look at that, Janelle, and see if you want to push it down, if you think it works, and then we'll put that up as a draft. And it's got to go through the public hearing process anyway, so it doesn't do any harm.
Are there any others we want to expand?
Well, just back to this one, are you looking to go down to 16 and down to across to 113 as well to really kind of square it off?
Let's do that.
Depending upon what.
I know there's residential in that area.
On 113.
That is why there's a big chunk to the west that there are residents there. And there's a bunch of small single-family residents there. That's why cut that off. We can take a look and
pretty sure
if we go to the other map, we can turn the parcels back on and kind of get a better eye sense. Because I was trying to avoid some of the
because
I think when we discussed it was how do we not put it in somebody's backyard? And there's a lot of
it's not a zoning issue. Let's see.
Yeah.
I get it. Turn
it on and then zoom in.
Okay.
Because sometimes
you gotta get closer.
Set zoom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. See other stuff here on.
So that's why when you go down to 16, you hit some subdivision.
And there's a few.
Yeah, we've got a couple of.
Yeah.
So I mean, we can avoid some of those, but I think it's also, you've got a lot of small, and depending on what you're looking for the ag preservation, how much of an impact do we want to have on those existing residential? But we can definitely look at expanding it, and we can kind of shape it around to avoid some of those residential neighborhoods.
I just thought it'd be better, go bigger rather than smaller, and also just for the future, when people come in, they'll be like, wait a minute, let's see what this could happen here, so later on when they come in, we can say, did you not know that this could happen here when you moved here? Because that's the, want to cross our T's and dot our I's and things like that.
Right now, it's all those people live there.
The people who live there can say, wait a minute, I was here first. I will give them that. They are allowed to come in and complain as much as they want.
Which is why it's like when we were taking a second look at them, it's like, okay, how do we avoid some of those residents?
Well, it's also need. I mean, you really need, once you get up above 200 or 300 acres, do you really need to go 500, 600, 700 acres? You really don't.
And we don't want to put residential subdivisions in that zone.
Yeah.
It makes no sense at all. But if the opportunity is there and on vacant lands, I'm certainly okay with that. But there may not be in that situation. I know there's some residential development in that area.
Yeah, there's definitely some housing.
May not be able to do it.
But I think we might be able to maybe if it's not an expansion of maybe it's a secondary one. But we can take a look and play with it.
When Vince gets here, we'll ask him this question, but just thinking about this moving forward, you know, it's a 10-year plan. Typically, we do these maps once, and then we don't revisit them. But can we organically revisit a map and make changes in it, or can we only do it in response to an application? I wonder if we have the ability to review our own maps every so often.
You might want to actually create a process to do that. So if you wanted to do like every 2 years, take a look at the maps, or once every 5 years, because once every 5 years, we do actually have to take a look. But do we want to take, I know other places, it's like once a year, you get one time a year, and that's when you get to amend the comprehensive plan. So it's not an ongoing thing. It's like we adopted it and we keep changing it. It's okay, you get once a year, and if the county wants to do maybe once every 2 years or once every 3 years to take a look, just make sure, or have that opportunity to say, oh, this is growing faster and maybe we need to address here and not over here. That's something I think we would want to get into the comprehensive plan, is that as a strategy, is we take a look at it.
I think we need to have the option to at least look at them.
Just have to be a little bit careful, because the comp plan is supposed to provide
predictability.
Yeah, exactly.
I get that, Marty.
So
I really
we have
do.
To be, you know, it's a we have to be a little bit careful that we don't allow all the members of the public, both the business people investing in the adjacent property owners, that predictability.
I mean,
that's the reason for these maps.
Right, which is why I said maybe once every 2 years you want to take a look, because sometimes we hit it dead on, and sometimes we might be a little, because I mean,
that's
the last time it was like
my concern is
the boom, the recession hit, so clearly that plan, taking a look wouldn't have hurt.
But no, I agree with Marty in the sense that predictability trumps that in my mind. But if there's a way for us to at least have a mechanism for doing it.
Well, if nothing else, just to look at it and say, hey, we're doing okay.
Look
at that.
Yeah. More compelling.
So that we don't get 10 years.
Actually working out,
So we don't get 10 years down the road and go, I'll be darned, look at
that.
Or a compelling need, I mean, a driving force to look
at. Yeah, that's I'm concerned about. More what I'm concerned
So you're thinking a new strategy about, consider
a process.
We're trying to take out.
But we took one today, so
took
one out, we're going to have one back.
Is it Sam Wilson says two out, one in?
It's a one for one rule,
I don't know what. I'm a little reluctant
to. We don't have to do it. Just
let's just put it on a note, and then when council gets it, let them wrestle with it. How's that?
So put it as a strategy or no?
No. Let's just leave it out for now, and then when the council gets this, we'll pass it on to them, and they can decide whether they want to revisit that or not. And just, you make a mental note about it and let them wrestle with it.
Sure, you got an open space in your brain to.
Are we done
that.
With this map? Is there any other comments regarding? There was one note I had just on the state strategies, I think it was three. And I was running late today, so I didn't print out. I think the state strategies three language.
Investment level three?
Go to the last paragraph. The highlight is good. Okay, that last paragraph, it says, in Sussex County case, much of the environmentally sensitive developing area is designated as level three. This designated acknowledges that these areas are part of the county future zone. However, this designation also suggests that special security be applied. But they don't match up with this. What it's saying is that the ESDA doesn't match up with the state spending strategy in level three. It goes beyond it into level four. And looking at developing areas that we've expanded in the mixed residential areas that we've expanded, they also go out into level four areas. So we probably need to add, not only does the ESDA go outside of level three, but those other two areas as well.
Having fun?
Just to be clear, they never have matched up.
Right, they're not actually designed to match up, because the state has their own criteria of determining what they are, and part
and
of their criteria is...
they'll review it after they get the comp plan. They'll change it again in 5 years to match the comp plan.
They'll
take our data and our updated data and reflect that. And as the state has stated a number of times, is that they will, well, if it says it's a level 3 and then we've determined it to be a developing area, they will recognize the county's comprehensive plan because ours is newer than their state strategies. So, you know, you might still get some of the comments, but they'll also recognize that we have adopted something since their strategies have been adopted.
And that's all I want to make clear, that when somebody reads it, they know they don't match up. They may never will, but...
Yeah, I'll put a note saying that, you know, well, we talk further down about how this plan, like what the different changes are in the different areas, and I'll say that, you know, with changes in this update of the comp plan, there's some discrepancies here and there.
That's all I had. Did anyone else have any other suggested edits to the future land use element? Mr. Wheatley?
No.
Mr. Hudson?
Nope.
Mr. Hopkins?
No.
Mrs. Hoey-Steen?
I do.
With those relatively minor changes, I think it would be appropriate to go ahead and post this as a draft, if anybody so will.
I make that motion that we post it with minor changes.
Somebody?
A second.
Oh, I'm sorry, second.
We have a motion, a second, to post a future land use element as a draft.
Mark,
all those
yes. I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
You
want to get it done, don't you?
I had a question before you do
Okay.
Do you want to review the change to the AB area by 16 before it gets posted?
I don't think so. We have the workshop coming up.
I'm fine with
You're fine with Janelle.
You guys do it.
Okay.
Post it. We'll see it. They'll see it.
Okay.
And if there's a problem.
And then if, you know, if we want to revisit it after the workshop, at least the public will have that as a post. And we
all right, go ahead and vote then.
Okay.
They're all going to revisit.
Yeah.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. Okay, we're ahead of schedule. I only saw in the newspaper, so we're okay. Let's go on to transportation update. And I guess...